You're listening to Bandgeek with Richie Castellano on the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com.
What's up? Richie here. This is Bandgeek episode 15 with Mike DeCampo. Mike was a touring member of Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and he was also my childhood guitar teacher. So I'm so excited to have him on the show, and I hope you like it. Let's take care of some business. I really appreciate everyone going to the Amazon link on the Bandgeek page. That's at www.riotcast.com/bandgeek. At the top, there's an Amazon link. You click on that and you do your regular Amazon shopping, and it throws a small percentage of your purchase to supporting the show. We really appreciate it. You guys have been great. Couple of Blue Oyster Cult dates coming up. On Saturday, September 6th, we'll be in Michigan, Indiana. That's weird. Anyway, we'll be at the Blue Chip Casino. And then on September 12th, we'll be in Hinckley, Minnesota at the Grand Casino Hinckley. It's like a casino tour. I like casinos because I like buffets, so whatever. So one thing before I start this episode, I just want to say one more thing. I'm going to dedicate this episode to the memory of Albert Lazaro, and this is an appropriate episode to do that because Albert was a friend of mine and a student of Mike DeCampo's, today's guest. Albert passed away this week. He was 25 years old. There was a horrible accident. And I want to just dedicate this to his memory because he was really a wonderful guitar player. And he started when he was very young taking lessons with Mike at my dad's store. And then eventually he moved away to Pennsylvania. But then he went to college for music, and he would keep in touch with me on Facebook, and he would send me videos of him playing guitar, and he was phenomenal. Like, seriously, I'll post one on my page so you can hear how this kid played. And he was also just a beautiful kid. He used to send me messages all the time asking me about gear and microphones and stuff like that. And he will be sorely missed. Albert, this show's for you. I hope you guys like it. welcome to Band Geek. I'm Richie Castellano.
We are stepping out.
We're cooking. We're cooking now.
Yeah.
I really just wanted to dance to that. I didn't want to play. I just wanted to, like, do the dance.
Let's bring the lights down.
I was, but oh, yeah. Abruptly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Joining me today, I'm going to go around the room here before mentioning my guest. On acoustic guitar and harmonica, my cousin Phil Castellano.
Oh, hello.
Rehired.
Welcome back, Phil.
Thanks, Andy.
Andy and Phil rehashed.
We worked it out.
Worked things out, right. On on electronical drums, Andy Ascalise.
Hello.
Yeah.
On the bass guitar, my wife, Anne-Marie Castellano.
Hi.
My co-host and kazooist and sound maker, Jarrett
Keep
Muff Pressman.
What's that, Richie? I can't hear you all the way in the bathroom.
Oh, man.
He was saying that all night.
The bathroom at my house, down the street.
How long have you been saying
joining
that
us,
for?
Joining us through Skype is Jarrett Pressman.
Joining us remotely today.
I can't hear anybody, though. I can't hear you or them.
You can't hear me?
I'm going to wait till we start.
I was going to say.
Can everybody hear me now?
Oh, hey.
Okay.
Oh. Hey, you're always fine.
We did the same thing.
Because me and Anne-Marie are sharing a mix today. We did. Hey.
We're sharing a
Everybody's
mix
so
corner.
Worried about hearing acoustic guitar, they don't care about my voice.
Your voice is too loud now.
Oh, God.
I hear it all the time.
Oh. Is that better?
No.
It's not the mix. It's your voice.
How about now?
I'm sassy on this side of the
okay.
room.
Yes. That's not sassy move.
All right. Now.
Me and Muff are a tag team of anger and hate today.
Because they share a mix.
The next person I'd like to introduce is probably our secret weapon, Brandy Metaxas. Hello, Brandy.
Yay.
You know why?
Brandy.
Because you make it sound like there's 20 people in the room.
It's when people I listen, behind the scenes that make...
And she's our camera woman, and she's the drink maker, and she does all the things that make the show go. So thank you, Brandy.
Aw, thank you, Richie.
She darns our socks and tells us stories and tucks us in at night.
Now, our special guest is someone, when I came up with the idea for the show, this is one of the first people that popped in my head for who I wanted to have on. This person is one of my favorite guitar players, and I'm so happy to have him on. He was the guitar player touring with Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and
Freddie Paris,
whose hit was In the Still of the Night. Did I do that right?
That's right.
Okay. I didn't write this down. But he was also kind of a pioneer for what I'm doing, because he had a cable show called 10 to Rock in the 80s, and which was a guitar instructional show that he did. And that's where I pretty much am stealing most of this from. And also, most importantly to me, he was my guitar teacher. He was my sifu, my sensei, my Jedi master. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike DeCampo.
Thank you, my man.
So, how you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing fine. I'm glad to be with you here with all my friends.
I'm going
to
move you closer a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Drive me a little closer there.
There you go.
But I'm glad to be here. And, you know, I've been watching your career, Richie, and I'm very happy to see you've become quite a Jedi.
Thank you, Master.
Said like a true bar mitzvah video message.
But the reason why Jarrett is displaced is because Mike is a lefty guitar player. So the headstock is pointing where Jarrett would be sitting usually. So now
he has to endure sitting in the corner like me every week, into a corner.
Right, right.
Freaking southpaws.
So it's either Mike sits on my couch and Jarrett sits over there, or Mike sits there and Jarrett.
And I Skype.
Yeah, exactly. And by Skype. Exactly. So with the lefty guitar neck, this was the best way to do it.
I have a really good lefty guitar story.
Okay.
Can I tell it really quick?
You could tell it really slow if you'd like. It's a podcast.
Once upon a time. I was in guitar ensemble in CSI, my college, my alma mater. Anyway, we had a guitar ensemble concert, and I sat next to my friend Enrico, who plays lefty. Now, my guitar teacher, whom pretty much everybody in this room knows, Ed Brown... he likes to do this thing at the guitar ensemble concerts where we'll do old parlor songs, like English, like silly drinking songs. They're hilarious, kind of like barbershop quartet type stuff. So one year he got me and my friend Nicole to sing this song that the entire guitar ensemble was playing. And I was playing parts of it too whenever I wasn't singing. So he gave us these old lady wigs because the song I think was called When I'm Old and Gray or something. And he gave us these old lady wigs. And so I had the wig on. I took it off afterwards. The whole place loved it. They loved the wigs. I put it down. And Enrico, the lefty guitar player next to me, he was debuting his original composition with the guitar ensemble. And what happened, but right after the song, the parlor song, he was his song. And what happened was the wig got stuck to his headstock. So when he went to get up and take a bow with because he was lefty, so it was all up in my grill. And when he goes to take his bow, he has this giant gray old lady wig stuck to his headstock for his first original composition debut with the guitar ensemble. Oh, man, that's one of the only good stories from CSI.
When I was in high school, I was in a guitar ensemble, and we set up in a semicircle. So I'm trying to think, if there was ever a lefty, you either have to be the best guitar player because you have to be the first guitar, or the worst guitar player. Because otherwise, you can screw up the whole look of the ensemble.
Yeah, he was in the middle. He wasn't on the end of any row. We were in the middle together.
I think in our guitar ensemble in high school, if you played lefty, he would have said, you know what, you should just play righty because it don't look right.
Now, you want to hear a little bit of, you want me to impress you for a minute?
Sure, I would like you to impress
me. So, Mike, do you play lefty guitars or do you play regular guitars and just do the strings in reverse?
Well, no. Hold on. That's huge what just happened. That Jarrett knew
just like Hendrix?
Here we go. Jimmy uses a right-handed guitar, but he plays the strings the way I would use it. Now, I got something to say about this Sinisterio guitar situation.
You see, Sinister's Latin for
left-handed. It is really right-handed guitar playing. Andy, when you solo on the piano, what hand is dominant? The right?
It's the right.
Okay,
hand.
Richie, you're a right-handed person,
yeah.
But you're using your less dominant hand. When you're learning how to play the guitar, of course both hands are important, but the real work and the heavy lifting is done with the right, with the fretting hand.
Right.
Now, me being kind of ambidextrous, but I really am right hand dominant.
Oh.
So when I play so-called left-handed guitar, I'm fretting with my right hand.
Yeah. Right.
So my most coordinated hand was the hand that I was using. That obviously means that I wasn't fighting my nature.
Okay.
And it gave me a little leg
that
up, I think.
That always makes sense.
I have
me.
Something else to add to this.
Oh, go, yeah. Philip.
Well,
when I first started playing guitar, I picked it up lefty. Whenever I would pick it up, my father would switch it on me. I'm actually I am a left-handed person, but I play guitar righty now.
Oh. You're better off because you're using your dominant hand.
I'm using my dominant hand.
Well, I heard that Steve Morse is also lefty.
Oh, really?
He plays the other way.
Yeah, so I'm playing backwards, but actually not backwards.
Yeah, but because it makes sense. You're using your stronger hand to fret. That never made any sense to me. Like, before I knew how to play guitar, even though I've seen people play guitar in real life, like in middle school or high school when I would pick up a guitar, I'd play with it on my lap like this and strum the strings like I'm a little child.
What are you eating?
A candy bar.
Can you not sharing?
Can you not eat for the next 45 minutes or so?
No.
You said eating during the podcast was okay. Like,
I guess it is, but now when you're telling a story.
Chew, chew, chew.
That's a sound a mouth makes. Chew, chew.
Mike brought an arsenal of guitars. Can you tell us about these guitars that you brought?
There's a lefty Stratocaster. It's kind of I own an old 50s lefty Strat, and I don't like to travel with it anymore. So I got this Fender Relic. And it kind of takes the place of it. I like a beat-up guitar, And I like the 50s appointments and the way it sounds. It's got a different sound.
That's a 50s Relic?
No, it's a 56 Relic. It's a new... it was made in 2000,
that's
but
cool.
It's a... basically, it feels and it's got the kind of sonics of a old guitar. This here is a Les Paul. It's a flame-top, kind of like a 59 reissue.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's a nice little thing. And I got a Telecaster here. As well.
What's the Telecaster? What series is
that? That's like a 52 reissue, and it's got that. Actually, I think the pickup is a little hotter than the real thing. I have another Tele that has a pickup that's not as hot, and it sounds more like the real thing to me. But they're both good.
So okay, these are all reissues, but I know you have some of the real deal also.
A 58 Strat.
Talk about that because that's like
right. Your dad, matter of fact, I was complaining about it, saying, oh man, this guy Arlen Roth had found it for me, and it was like maybe $3,500 in 1980.
I'm gonna stop you there. Arlen Roth is a big deal. Arlen Roth is one of the Hot Licks guys, right?
Right, yeah.
And he wasn't he involved with that movie Crossroads?
Yes, yes. He was the guitar instructor. He taught Ralph Macchio how to do it.
He taught Ralph Macchio. He was actually the real Mr. Miyagi. He taught Ralph Macchio how to play guitar.
Right.
More than Pat Morita taught Ralph Macchio how to do karate.
It was wipe on, wipe off.
So Arlen Roth found you this guitar.
Right, I was studying with him at the time. And
now, one thing I want to ask you, I'm sorry to keep interrupting you, but a lot of people don't realize this. There's, if you're a lefty guitar player and you want to play vintage guitars, you're kind of fucked, right?
You can have any guitar you want, new, as long as it's black. it's like a T-model Ford, you know? That's the thing. I'm very lucky. Between your grandparents and your dad's store, you know, I was able to score some very good guitars over the last, you know, 40 years. And, you know, I'm blessed that way. I have a collection of over 30-something guitars, and wow. I'm able to get, you know, some of the nicer things. Some things where I was able to flip, like an old National from the 1930s and an old Gibson I got from your grandmother, L50, that I was able to flip. But your dad heard me complaining about this guitar. He goes, "He just get a pair and go get it." I said, "But I don't have the money." He goes, "You got a whole bunch of guitars.
And this is the guitar
that
Arlen Roth found for you."
Right.
Okay.
Your dad says, "You want this thing? Be a man and go get it."
Be a man.
Smack me in the face. Act like a man and get it. So what happened was he actually fronted me a couple of guitars to sell, and you know, and eventually I paid him back, and then I sold about five or six of my guitars. I actually had a reverse Firebird, you know, that I bought for $50 that I sold for quite a bit of money, and you know, I was able to finance this guitar, which was like the price of a used Cadillac at the time. You know, I never spent $300 on a guitar.
What year was this?
1980.
Okay, and even then, a 50 Strat was a lot of money.
Yeah, I was $3,500 for lefty Strat. I was offered some telephone book numbers for it a few years ago. I'm sure it's gone probably down with the market, but it's still way up there.
Yeah, and I've played that guitar, and that neck, even though it's left-handed, that is the neck of doom on that
Actually,
guitar.
Actually, your guitar has the same exact neck, your Eddie Van Halen guitar.
You think?
Yeah. It's exact. I don't know why, but it's exact.
I mean, and now, would you say that's your favorite neck out of all of your...
Well, you know, it was, but I realized the neck is shrunk. And I had actually I had the 10th Custom Shop guitar made in 1986 from Fender. And I had the measurement sent, but the neck is so shrunk that, like, the strings are practically falling off just like the other guitar. So it was a stupid move. I probably should have got a more of a normal-sized neck.
I think this might be a Phillips Tech tip.
Oh.
About frets and shrinking. Ooh. Now, for those of you who don't know, who haven't listened to the show before, Philip is my tech in Blue Oyster Cult.
That's right.
And he sets up all my guitars. What? No.
Keep going.
Is there a private conversation going on here?
But actually...
Yeah, Amber's having a private conversation.
If I recall, the neck shrinking happened to your man right? Yeah.
Okay. Philip. Amber's learning the...
I got it. Things we didn't discuss.
Here we go. Wow. It sounded like a Tenacious D song because I was playing this on the acoustic.
Did I do okay?
You were beautiful, honey. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Oh, good.
That's a good bumper for your
every compliment tonight show. Is a bar mitzvah video.
Thank
you'll look beautiful this evening.
So, Philip, I want you to explain how guitars shrink.
Okay, what happens is, well, the frets of course, can be stainless steel sometimes. They can do different kinds of metal. But let's say if you have stainless steel frets. Those tend to not shrink because it's metal. It doesn't have, you know, the frets can't shrink, it's metal. But the thing is, the wood around the neck, that's just wood. So if it tends to get dried out, the neck could tend to shrink, and then you have frets poking out the side, and that creates a lot of, you know, it
gets
scraped
up. There's a
funny
word for that. It's called fret sprout.
Fret sprout, there you go.
Right. Okay, so if you have fret sprout on your guitar, A, what can you do to fix it? And B, what can you do to prevent it?
Well, to prevent it, let's start there. You can definitely try and keep your guitars in a nicely humidified room. Amory, I don't do this when you're talking. That's
oh,
great.
Wow.
Whoa. We're reacting.
No, seriously.
Sprout is a funny word.
You can keep it in a nice humidified room. So you don't want to keep it in a... I like to keep my guitars in the same room that I would like to live in. So I wouldn't want to keep it in, like, my garage. You know, I wouldn't want to keep it outside. You know, keep it in a room that you would like to be in. That's what
you can't see this, but Mike is giving you the nod of approval.
You like that, Mike?
I'm thinking about a friend of mine who went nuts humidifying it. His house was like a green room. There was like moss growing. I mean, you could take it to extremes, right?
Yeah, that's a little bananas. That's a little bananas.
If 50%. It was like the rainforest.
So if the guitar has fret sprout, yeah. What do you do?
Well, you have to be very careful. You can try and sand it down, but you don't want to take off any wood. They make special tools for that where you can grind them down, but
it's so best bring to have, it to a professional.
Bring it to a professional. You don't want to try and do that yourself. You don't want to take off wood. Taking off wood is a bad sign.
I had to have frets sticking out on that 58 Strat. It was unplayable when I got it.
Oh, man.
And I think John Sir, a few years later, put on oversized frets, but they were sticking out a tad. And made the guitar at least so that the strings don't fly off the neck.
You know what?
So I've learned to deal with it.
Because you said that it's like my Van Halen, and I have the same exact problem with my Van Halen. With the problem when the neck... Now
shrinkage?
I have the shrinkage.
Wow.
I had to get that in.
I have.
You have shrinkage.
I'm impressed. Oh,
from now on, I'm calling that fret sprout.
Yeah. If you
code word fret sprout.
I swear this never happens to me. It's fret sprout.
It was cold. It was cold, Jerry.
I tried
it's actually freezing in the basement.
I tried taking it to a wood guy. It just didn't.
You went too far.
Nope.
Nope.
Just the right amount.
That's my story.
What does the sensor say?
What?
The sensors are good with this?
We have no sensors. This is the Wild West.
Okay.
So
the Wild West Brighton.
That sounds like a guy hitting his belly again. if you don't play guitar and you're wondering what's the big deal about the neck shrinking, the high E string, the skinny one, if you hit it just the wrong way, it'll fall off the neck.
Yeah, right.
And what someone give us an example of what it sounds like. Yeah, like that. So on my Van Halen and on Mike's 58 Stratocaster, that happens. So when you're playing like the outside strings, you got to be really careful not to hit them and not to and I kind of have to bend them all sharp a little bit when I play when I'm like playing a lead on the E string. I have to bend it slightly sharp just so it doesn't go ahead.
It'll also cut up your hands.
So what are we supposed to do, Phil?
Well, like I said, we could bring it to a professional who knows what they're doing. But if you want to mess around with it, I guess you can get a small file, try and file it down. But you want to be careful. You don't want to take off wood. That's what you don't want
to
do.
Right, but there's also another thing to point out.
Yeah.
There's an angle.
There is.
So talk about that.
Well, you want to stick with the angle. Like, if you look at the neck, they tend to be in like that D shape. And you want to try and follow that angle. You don't want it to be like, because if you file it down the wrong way, you can still kind of have like the wrong edge, and that can be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You don't want a sharp edge.
You don't want a sharp edge. Yeah.
And that was Phillips. That was Phillips Tech Tip.
Phillips Tech Tip.
That was Phillips Tech Tip. Tech Tip.
Very good.
One day I'll get that.
Sweet.
Wow.
I like that.
Okay, so let's talk about dropping picks on the floor. Let's talk about. All right, I want to know about your amp collection.
I actually have a fairly large collection.
That's why I'm asking you.
But I'm trying to thin out the herd. You get to the point where you can't really keep up with all them in terms of having them in working condition and optimum, you know, playing fighting situation here. So
every time you go to bring an amp in for repair, it's like $200-$300.
Yeah.
It's like a car repair.
But I like to have a good I mean, some of my favorite amps, I have a 53 Twin, which is only about 20 watts, and it's sonic heaven. I got a 53 Deluxe, and that's another beautiful sounding amp. It just does the right thing. You know, they sound actually like that big Marshall sound, better than a Marshall it records, because of its the smaller speakers and the controllability of it. So I find.
When you record, do you tend to use those amps, like a low wattage amp?
Yeah, small amps, big sound. A Princeton amp is a nice clean amp, a Brown Princeton. But like 12 watts, that does it, man. And I rather, like live, I like a clean sound, and I use pedals to kind of do the thing.
Right.
But in the studio, I like to push the amp and play it loud, usually a smaller amp, so it's a manageable volume, and it does the thing.
Will you use like a boost? Now, the reason I'm asking Mike all these tone questions is because Mike has the tone of doom all the time. Every time I see Mike play, he has an amazing guitar sound. And when I see Mike on a gig, he brings four guitars, he's got an amp or two, and a giant pedal board. So that's why any guitar geeks out there, this is the guy you want to talk to about guitar tone, especially when you're talking about blues, classic rock, You know what I mean? Country. This is the guy who knows how to get those sounds. So that's why I
picked your brain. He came over here for an hour show and had four guitars with him.
I know. It's sick. It's a sickness. It's a sickness.
No, but I respect that.
Well, I got to say, you know, I'm pretty low tech with the pedal board. I use a lot of pedals and I do it old school with, you know, I don't have like a computer kind of looking thing. It's just, you know, dials, adjust it. That's it, you know,
right.
And play it.
When you're playing with like a 15-watt amp, do you use like an overdrive for that? Or you just...
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you, I'm playing in a fairly loud cover band, and I use a 12-watt Princeton and a 15-watt Dr. Z Carmen Ghia amp. It's not a lot of wattage, and I am so loud, it's ridiculous. And, you know, I don't have those amps up to 3 or 4, not right. even. You know, and yeah, I use some kind of overdrive device. I'll use a clean boost and a compressor. I really like the Keeley compressor. Not that I'm, you know, getting an endorsement or anything.
It's okay. This is a perfect, you know, place to talk about that because guitar players listen to
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I used to use an XR one, and I like that too, the old one. But I find when you're using a Fender, a compressor helps. A lot of noise. You got to learn how to control these things because of they can get out of control. You're doing Hendrix stuff. It really helps the Strat have that big sound when you're using small amps. And you could certainly, like when you could start adding a boost or a distortion, all three things for, you know, for Christ's sake. And then it really, it sounds huge.
I got to ask, we've asked a couple of our guests this, you know, you seem to have an impressive collection of amps and guitars and stuff. Is there something that you've never been able to like, pull the trigger on that's just, you know, if money was no object.
Well, you know, money is an object in these older days, you know, when you
something that you've been
get older
for,
and you have a house and all these other things. But, I mean, I would like a nice old Vox, I guess. That would be something to have.
Do you have a new Vox?
I have no Voxes.
Just borrow our friend Chris Segalini's. That's
well,
what I do.
It's good to have friends.
It is.
And, you know, we have friends.
Yes.
You know, the little community we belong to, We can get anything we need, I guess, in a pinch, and we can certainly get players to do things that we can't do, and
very true.
We're very, very blessed to have a nice circle.
Say what you want about Staten Island, but I could make a killing album within the 2-block radius of my house with just the musicians who live by me. You know, it's true. And also, I can get any piece of gear I want. You know, like our friend Chris, Chris Segalini, shout out, what's up, Chris? when I was doing he also has an impressive guitar collection. When I was doing the Bohemian Rhapsody video, I could have used, you know, software or something, but I figured I got to get an AC30. That's like the Brian May amp. So I called him up. Do you have an AC30? Yep.
No problem.
I have two.
I have AC60. No.
It's better. It's better than
it's two. It's two. It's two.
Twice as much. Twice
and
as
didn't many. You didn't you borrow a 12
neck
string
guitar?
From him?
I no the 12 string. Yeah, I was gonna do another one that I did a 12 string for, but I didn't do it. But also for your recital, Amory, your college recital.
Yeah.
You did all those Led Zeppelin tunes. Okay. I borrowed his double neck for that.
I have no recollection of this.
I put a double neck on your recital.
I don't remember.
I went to that. Thanks a lot for remembering. Jerk.
It's a long story why she doesn't remember, because there's no video evidence of it.
Oh, I didn't. Wasn't even thinking that, but yeah.
Yeah. Someone set up a camera and forgot to hit record.
I don't know who that person
is. It wasn't in the... It's no one in this room, so...
So why don't we talk about your history
right.
together?
I have known Mike my entire life. Is that true?
I knew you since you were a young man.
And I remember Mike gave me my first guitar lesson, and Mike gave me my last guitar lesson.
there is nothing else I can teach you.
No, when I was, I think, 4 or something like that, or really too young to play guitar. Because no, I remember being...
Used to be almost, I think, you know, probably like about 5 years old, and I had a room where I was teaching in your dad's store. And
My father, now he...
used to sit by the door and just absorb everything. And then one day, all of a sudden, you were playing. And your dad said, you know, said, okay, now you got to spend time with him.
When before Mike mentioned he bought a guitar for my grandmother. My grandmother's not like a little old lady that just has guitars in her house. I want to give some background on that. My grandparents had a music store in Brooklyn.
Reference the John Castellano episode.
Right, Bath
yes,
Music.
Bath Music, and that was a you know really a legendary store in that neighborhood. And then my father opened up a store at Fort Hamilton Parkway in Brooklyn. called Guitar City, and Mike was our sole guitar teacher there. Right.
I met your father when I was probably 13. I used to make the trek, you know, get on the bus and go down to Bath Music just to, you know, just to drink it in, you know, talk to your grandparents and stuff.
Get a free meatball sandwich.
And I was always, you know, and everybody was afraid of your father because he was like kind of a little tough guy, you know, I guess, you know. And he was on the road, I guess, at the time with the Chambers Brothers or somebody. And
there were a lot of gestures.
And
just
so this
now.
Is the first time
that nobody saw except for us.
So this is the first time I'm in the store, and your grandmother goes, "Honey, go upstairs and wake up my son." I'm like, I'm in a stranger's house, and she's making me go up the stairs. I go up this stairway, and I knock on the door, your mother wants you to wake up, and he doesn't answer, so I ran downstairs. She goes, "Don't be a coward. Go in there and open that door and wake my son up." She was setting me up. I opened the door. I said, "Your mother," and boom, a shoe comes flying up my head.
That's a great story.
That's how I met your
and they
dad.
They became the best of friends.
Every story about my dad from that time period is him throwing things at people. He told me stories about him throwing a knife at somebody at Guitar City.
He used to practice throwing knives. Maybe somebody's legs got in the way. I don't know.
I saw him throw a pair of scissors at Philip one day. He's like, "Here, Phil, catch."
I remember that. Right at my feet.
I saw him throw me out of the house.
Oh my God. So I took a lesson with you at 4, and I remember you were... this is one of my earliest memories, is of you in the back room at my dad's music store in 1984, and you were teaching me, just trying to teach me how to do things, and I was horrible. And then when my father opened the store in Staten Island, he hired Mike again to teach. And then I had another guitar teacher first before my dad had the store. I had a guy come to my house who just taught me pretty much the basics, and he was a good teacher. But then when I started getting into like lead guitar, my father, he said, "It's time for you to go with Mike DeCampo." So I remember that, and I took lessons for like 3 or 4 years with you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much like end of junior high school.
But they were intense lessons. We were...
All right, how was I as a student?
Obviously, the results show...
Now, every student I ever taught, I can tell you right now, off the top of my head, the worst thing they ever did. So what was the worst thing I ever did as a student?
That's just because you're hateful.
I guess.
When you had asthma as a kid, and you would cough at me.
Not on you, at you.
Hold on a second. And are you fighting me with the thermostat?
Why do you keep turning it down to 68? My nose is running.
Anne-Marie and I have we're very...
I was like,
it's getting hot in here.
I set this on
December. It's hot in here. Anne-Marie and I installed in our house a Wi-Fi thermostat.
I didn't write a theme song for this. Yeah.
We have a Wi-Fi thermostat, and me and Mike are here melting, and I keep turning it down to like 68
on your phone.
On my phone, right? And then I look, and then I start sweating again. I look at my phone; it's back to 72. Leave the fucking thing alone! We're dying over here. Put a jacket on.
It's freezing.
I will take my shirt off.
Put a shirt on.
It's getting warm.
I have a sweater wrapped around my feet right now.
It's
summer. I shouldn't have to wrap my feet.
Anne-Marie's not dressed like a sand person to this episode.
It's getting hot. It's getting cold. I'm getting Brett Sprout.
Me and Mike are melting over here. Please stop turning the air off. Put a jacket on. All
right? My feet are wrapped in a sweatshirt right now. I don't know if you can see
this. Let's warm up by playing
the song.
Yeah, exactly. So, Mike, you had your show, 10 to Rock. When did that...
Oh, you were a guest on it.
I was a guest.
You were young. You didn't even have a good guitar yet, did you?
I played my dad's guitar. He had like a 63 Strat reissue.
And he let you use that.
He let me use that, and I was terrified because it was the first time anyone ever asked me, okay, because we did Sunshine of Your Love, and Mike said on the show, "Name the notes you're playing." And I go, oh, shit. Inside my like 9-year-old brain, I'm going, I don't know the names of the fucking notes, right? So like...
I just know where my fingers...
Yeah, I know what my... I know I'm on 10, 12, do. So I look at my... I look at... And all of a sudden, I became like Batman, right? I was like, looking at the guitar. Okay, I'm on the 12th fret. I'm on the D string. That's D. Because I'm on the D string and the 12th fret it repeats, and then I go down. So, and there's probably a video of this somewhere.
Where oh, you're nine.
Yeah, I'm like nine. I'm going, the first thing you do is, the first thing you do is you play the D on the 12th fret. And then you go down.
You were Brooklyn Mickey Mouse.
I was. Then you go down to the. And I was so going. And in my brain, I'm going C. The D. D flat. C. You go to C. And then you go back to that. And like, I think it took me the half hour episode to explain what. Do, 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 do. You want to play that?
I'm sorry.
Do you know this, Amory? You want me to do it?
What key?
D.
Yeah, sure.
Give me the bass. I'll take care of it.
C.
No, I'll do it. Fine, come over here and take it.
I'm sorry, where did the Batman come into that story?
It was Batman logic. I used my deductive reasoning.
Batman logic.
What kind of Batman are you?
I don't know how figuring out notes made you Batman.
It was how he figured out.
I knew this song once.
Do we know the words to this song?
Wah, 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 wah,
wah, wah. That's all I know.
I'm going to make it. It's getting near dawn.
It's getting near dawn with lights.
You want to sing this one?
No, I don't know the words.
Where
lights do their something, their close their tired eyes. I'll be with you stalling too.
In the garage.
Get it up on the old,
Well, you finally learned all the words to, in the white room.
No, I never learned the words to that.
In the white room.
I got a story about that while I'm looking up these words.
Yellow tigers, yellow tigers, yellow tigers.
I put a video up on, YouTube when I first joined YouTube of my band doing, white room. And I sang all the wrong words. I just made them up. I was like, in a white room, there were people, they had tigers.
Yellow tigers, yeah. Yellow tigers.
In their jungles.
Did people like comment?
Yeah, the first comment, like, I got a video up on YouTube, I'm so badass. And the first comment is, those are all the wrong lyrics, jerk. You know what I mean? I deleted it. It's like, I can't.
I like the words, man.
Video. You should actually put it back up now as a re-release.
Well, I put on Facebook when I deleted it. I said I just got busted for having the wrong lyrics to "Sunshine of Your Love." I was like, does anybody actually know the words to that song? I'm sorry, to "White Room." And Liberty DeVito, who's Billy Joel's drummer, he commented, "Yeah, I used to know them when I was high. When I did drugs, I knew all of them."
Richie failed to mention that I was the person who wrote, "Way to not know the lyrics, dick."
That was you? You're an ass.
That was you?
No.
Aw.
Wait, you could have been...
All right, here we go.
That could have been for real, though.
We're going to do this song that I did when I was with nine, with Mike. Here we go.
All right, sing Tiger lyrics.
Can we do it at the speed you played it at?
Tired eyes. I'll soon be with you, my love, and give you my dawn surprise. I'll be with you, darling, soon. I'll be with you when the stars start falling. I've been waiting so long to be where I'm going, in the sunshine of your love. I'm with you, my love. The light shining through on you. Yes, I'm with you, my love. The morning just we two. I'll stay with you, darling, now. I'll stay with you till my seeds are dried up. I've been waiting so long to be where I'm going, in the sunshine of your
sorry, I didn't signal you for the ending, Mike.
That's okay.
We finally got it at the end.
Mistakes are good.
Yeah. Very nice. So that's a song we played when I was 10, 9 or 10. The age is going to keep increasing every time I talk about this story. So there's something else I wanted to ask you about. Now, this is called Band Geek. I saw a picture that you posted on Facebook.
Oh, my gosh. I am a geek.
And
I'm Mike. I'm a geek.
How old are you in this picture?
Let's see, 1967. That would make me. It was December, so I guess I was on the periphery of being 14 years old.
And in this picture, you have your hair parted to the side. You were very skinny. You have black pants on. You have a deep V-neck blue shirt. With a Star Trek...
Velour.
With a legit Star Trek pet that you made.
Yes.
I salute you.
I didn't have Spock ears, but I did have the Spock hairdo.
Yeah,
the
Spock... I have a story to tell that about 12-year-old...
Oh, by the way, I was playing my beautiful K, my Christmas present that year.
Oh, that's right. You had a guitar in the picture.
It was a fake, what do you call, binding, painted binding, F-hole K. It was beautiful.
The guitar is bigger than you in that picture also, yes. By the way.
I also went as Spock for Halloween. This is my dad's favorite story.
It's now my
Were you evil
story.
Spock or regular Spock?
I was regular Spock.
Okay.
I heard this story from my grandmother before she passed. And she told me that... Okay, here's what happened. It was 1992, I was 12 years old, Halloween, I went as Mr. Spock. And I got that Star Trek costume. How I found one in 1992 is amazing. I must have saw one at a store once and harassed my mom. Ma, you gotta get me this. So I had my black pants, my blue science officer shirt with the thing, and I got elf ears from the Halloween store that looked like shit, right? That like you just put them on and they fall right off. Right. So I put scotch tape on my face to make the elf ears stay on. And then I took my mom's like cover-up makeup and put it all over the scotch tape to cover it. And I spent about 2.5 hours doing this, right?
Cute.
Okay, so, I leave my house. There's two ways I could have gone. I could have gone to the right and start trick-or-treating immediately, or I could have went to the left, went around the corner, got those houses, and looped around to my house. And to me, that sounded like a better place. I was going to like, you know, so if it was dark out, I wouldn't have to walk around that big block. So I went that way first. So what happened? I take 4 steps out my door, the neighborhood bullies see me in my Spock outfit, and they shaving cream the fuck out of me, right?
Also me.
They get it all in my ears, all in my face. So I turn right around, I walk in, my father sees me, Richie, what happened? I got shaving creamed. And I went up to my room and Halloween was over, right? That was the end of the story. I thought. My grandmother told me that 30 seconds after I went to my room, my dad called her on the phone, hysterical laughing, saying, Richie just got shaving cream. What a nerd. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, what a separate sandwich. Wow.
So that's the story.
He threw you to the dogs.
Oh, my God. My grandmother told me that. She's like, before she passed away, she said, don't let your father pick on you. He's mean. How do I get myself in this situation?
I don't know. What are you doing?
Hold on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're breaking everything.
I got this. Hold on. I'm trying to put an acoustic guitar on.
Okay. Richie has 7 wires draped across his body right now. And a bow door.
All right. I have a surprise for Mike.
Okay.
And Philip.
Oh, the end of said surprise? Yeah. I can only do the beginning of the surprise.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Okay, you got that?
Yeah, yes.
All right.
I got it.
What's a surprise?
This is a surprise because Mike was and I were discussing this because we're both nerds. So let's see what we got here.
Oh, I know what the surprise is.
No, you don't.
I totally know what
shut
it is.
Shut your face.
I know what it is.
Phil, shut your face.
I got
your
it. Face. I got this.
Your
is
face.
It Space Hippies?
Shut your face,
it's
Phil.
It's Space Hippies, isn't it?
No, hush. Hush,
it wouldn't be Eden from.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
I'm gonna get back up for Mike a little bit.
Yay, brother.
I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me.
You sound like a station teacher. Long time back when Galaxy was new. And I'm standing here wondering
why?
If a man tells another man out of my way, he piles up trouble for himself all day. When a man tells another man, be my friend. My friend. Well, what's it gonna be? Someone can step one way or another. Let's say goodbye or let's say brother.
That was for you, Mike.
That's sick.
Who can tell me what episode that's from?
Oh, man.
What's the name of the, Mike, you go first. What's the name of that episode?
Oh, I don't remember the actual name of it. It wasn't called Eden.
It's
Return to Eden.
Way to Eden.
Way to Shambhala.
Explain to Brandy.
Yay, brother.
Did you ever see this, Andy?
The Space Hippies.
Okay, if you have Netflix or even if you have YouTube, go to YouTube and type in Space Hippies. Okay. And this is what there was a Star Trek episode where hippies invaded the Enterprise.
Dad can't ever listen to the podcast. I know I don't know what he's talking about.
Didn't Spock play a song?
Later on, Spock he plays the blues on like the Vulcan harp. He plays the blues.
What? Say the foot. If you watch it, it's hilarious because he just walks in with his
Yeah, he's like an asshole that shows up to a gig. Like, hey, I brought my axe.
You guys mind if I sit in?
It's the end of that song. He walks in with it. It's the end of the Space Hippie song.
Hey guys, oh my god! If I sit in.
So
I brought my axe.
Herbert.
Actually, my favorite one is actually Festival.
What's that one?
Are you not of the body? Do you know Landru?
Landru?
You don't know that one?
I gotta see that one. I'm not versed.
Man, you needed this actual guitar that they
look at that guitar. Oh wow! It's got a picture of the guitar.
And the guy with the blonde haired guy.
He looks like Lion-O.
If I wasn't afraid of everybody taking pictures, I would have taken my shirt off and played that song.
You made a really creepy face just like this guy did. I'm trying to tell you, but it was so distracting.
I was trying to travel through the guy.
You gotta learn that song, Going to Eden, Yay, Brother.
Yeah. Oh, that's the one. Look, that one's got like a lot of reverb on it. You can tell they didn't do that in the room.
They did it in space.
Oh, man. Oh my god.
That's a good one.
Oh my gosh.
So that's for you, Mike.
That was pretty geeky.
Alright, let's play another song. Here we go. All right?
Yep.
Alright, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Dylan, Tom Petty Choir, here we go.
Everybody got somebody.
dream on. I've been uptight and made a mess, but I cleaned it up myself, I guess. Oh, the sweet smell of success.
That was, yeah, that's harder than it sounds. That's all
it is.
Yeah. All right,
it's fun. It's got like weird fluid arrangement things going on in it. Like, yeah. Oh, this part doesn't go into that part this time. It just keeps going. Okay. Keep you on the toes, those Wilburys.
The Wilburys.
Is it, is there anything else you want to talk about, Mike, before we try to head to the last song?
What would I like to talk about?
Well, Mike is a private guitar instructor, so if you would like to take lessons with Mike... he teaches through my family's store.
I'll be glad to teach you.
Yes, and he is... Let me talk about something for a second. Mike has had a really good success rate. Mike was... my friend Dave Mannheimer, who is a really great guitar player, Mike was his teacher. You know Dave is writing music for Kevin Smith now?
No.
The director?
You kidding?
Yeah, the Fat Man on Batman theme song, that's Dave.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. And my friend Matt Lindauer, who's another awesome guitar player, that's a Mike student, and Robbie Padovano from the band Sanitarius,
touring band,
and also on tour right now in Europe.
Excellent.
So he's a Mike DeCampo student. So Mike and myself, you know, Mike, I just on behalf of all your students, thank you very much.
Well, you know what? You all did the work. That's the bottom line. You know, I just steered you. And gave you a program, but you did the work. You had to do it alone, and you had to do it yourself.
I mean, I think the way you taught things like music theory and modes, that's like, even though I learned it a dozen more times in like college and stuff like that, I always go back to the way you taught it. But just because when guitars are your first instrument, that's how you relate to things. I mean, in music school, they're showing you a piano keyboard, and that's how it relates. But the problem is, like, no matter how many times you look at a piano... If guitar is the first instrument you picked up, that's how you're going to relate music. You know what I mean? And when I hear intervals in my head, I'm looking at the guitar neck in my head. You know what I mean? I'm not looking at a keyboard.
It's harder to do on a guitar neck, though. I mean, I feel like on a piano, it's all laid out for you. You can sit there, you can count, because it's the same note could be in multiple places on
right,
it.
Right,
very true. Piano players seem to see things that take guitar players a lot longer to finally, like, you know, get it straight, you know, and see it.
Mm-hmm. Because a fifth is actually two away. It's not, you know, like... Now, what, seven half steps?
There's one more thing I want to talk about is you played with Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Yes.
And how did that happen?
Actually, I was studying with Tom Guana, and it was his gig, and you know, I subbed a gig for him, and then you know, I was able to score it for a little bit, and I got to, you know, do a record with them, which was kind of neat. I got, matter of fact, Mike Stern was on it, and all alumnus of. Blood, Sweat, and Tears was on it. You know, Brecker and
what's the name
Lou
of that
Soloff. It was called Bloodlines, and I think it's only in an MP3 download nowadays. I scored one CD off of eBay myself. It cost me $50. But
you paid $50 for your own CD.
Yeah, you know,
disgusting.
That's how you navigate through this world.
Now, how did you like playing with them?
It was exciting, you know, it was exciting to travel, it was exciting to play with a lot of horns, and, you know, it was louder than you would think. Oh my gosh, you know, like, I didn't think a band like that would be so loud, but it was pretty powerful and strong.
Very cool. Did you like the touring and stuff? Like, did you guys do fly dates?
Yeah, you know, I mean, they were doing a lot of one day, like, California dates, which was hell.
We know all about that. we're going back and forth to California, what, three times this month?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And one-day trips?
One of them's a three-day trip, but most of them are one-day trips.
We were taking a lot of, like, red eyes home, you know, so that was ridiculous.
We're doing that this week.
Friday.
You know, you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, you go, you're at the airport at 7, you're on the 7:30, you're on the road, and then, you know, then you're on a plane, then you're on a bus, and there you're there, and blah, 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 blah. Hurry up and wait, hurry up and wait.
We're going to do a little Band Geek Conkers now.
In the key of...
Let's go FGA.
Yeah.
Ready, guys?
Band Geek Conkers!
Okay.
Wow.
Today... that always throws people off when we do. Today we're conquering the song Hotel California by the Eagles.
I'm sorry, did you say the Bagels?
By the Bagels. Let's talk about the chords here. The chords in the verse are B minor. Write this down, people. B minor, F sharp 7th, A, E, G, G, D, E minor, F sharp 7th. Okay, so those are the chords, and then the chorus goes G, D, F sharp 7th, B minor. Then it goes G, D, E minor, F sharp 7th. Now, that's relatively simple, because that's the whole song. But it's all the other shit that happens on top of it. So, anyway, this song is, like so many other capo songs, has a capo on the 7th fret. If you're playing the capo on the 7th fret, right now I'm using the Variax, so I got the acoustic 12 string while Phil plays the acoustic 6 string. But it's E minor. Now, here's same chords, but when you play it up on the 7th fret, here are the shapes you need to play. E minor. Then B7th. Then I'm doing like a D sus 2. Then an A7th sus 2. See? G, A minor, B 7th. The chorus now on the capo position is C, G, B 7th, E minor, C, G, A minor, B7. So that's the chords. Those are the chords in the capo position there.
Do you know why they capoed it?
Because he wrote it in E minor.
He wrote it in E minor, and then Henley says, "Okay, great. Now let's do it in B." And it was such a hot. I mean, what a jump! In,
right. But in think about all the songs, you know.
Beautiful, right?
There's a lot of songs that are up there. Like,
That's right.
Oh, actually, maybe not a lot. I just know 3. So, so there's. Let's go over the vocals really quick. So Andy's gonna sing lead on this one. So welcome to the Hotel California. All right. So Amber, you want to grab the high part on that?
Such a love.
No. Day. Welcome to the Hotel
California.
Whoa. Yeah. So Andy sings.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
And Amber sings.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
And I go, welcome to the Hotel California.
We're doing the, right?
Yeah, the. 1, 2, all 3 of us. 3, 4.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
All right, now then you go,
such a lovely place.
Such a lovely place.
All right, so then Amory goes, such a lovely place. And I echo Andy, such a lovely place. So what are the lyrics? Is welcome? Is it always welcome, plenty of room?
It's no. It's welcome, plenty of room, first time. Second time is living it up.
Living it up.
Okay. So plenty of room, living it up. Okay. Plenty
and
of
then
room.
The next line is any time of year.
And it's, yeah, well, I'm just going to repeat
and then
you there.
The second one is what a nice, what a surprise. Nice surprise.
Okay. So then there's and still those voices are calling from far away. All right. That part. 3, 4.
And still those voices are calling from far away.
Good. All right, so those are the vocals. Now, Mike and I have a real tough guitar thing in this song.
Which could be a whole podcast.
Well, we're going to hear it now because we have to rehearse. Okay, so we come in with the harmonies at the end. We're going to do it a little differently than the record. We're just going to do it the every other verse. All
right.
So we come in with the harmonies. Mike's going to start on a B and then go... Yeah, well, the first time we just did... Bah, the whole
right, just straight.
And he goes down chromatically from B. and then down. Bam. He keeps going down. Keeps going down.
One, two, three,
D, E. Now he bends an F sharp up a half step. Yeah. So F sharp to G, then F. Yeah. My part is I start from the D, and I go down a half step, then I stay, and then I go down a whole step, and then I stay, and then I go down a whole step. One, two, three. F sharp, G. Two, three, then I go, I bend A sharp up a half step to a B, and then down to the A sharp. Then there's a little lick going up to the chorus that goes F sharp, A sharp, B, C sharp, D. Now I'm gonna do these licks. It's a... That's the second one?
Yeah. So it goes, that's the second one. Nice.
That's the second chorus.
It was the first one.
Yeah.
And then.
That's.
What's that like again?
You just played it. No.
The lick down an octave.
What is it, Mike?
Is that right there? No, not the high one.
Those are the only two. That's the one? That. Okay, so it's... Then I could do a B minor scale up.
That's not right. Like, that's pretty.
Okay.
Pretty sure it's not right. It's, first one is... And then, I need to do it for myself. And then we have... And then, so now the second, we gotta go over the second verse. So, or the fourth verse. Right. So now Mike's gonna go. Two, three. So basically it's the same lick, but he's adding this little. 2, 3. So he does the same descending line. 3. And then it's exactly the same. Good. And I'm going. So I do the same lick.
That little high note thing is the same notes every time.
Yeah. It's like a regular blues bend. All right. Now, the last verse. This is the tough one. We're going to go. And now the big thing that everybody wants to know in this song is the...
So I'm starting on a D, yeah. And I'm descending from there.
So he's playing a B minor arpeggio starting from the... So basically, he's playing... this. Everybody thinks this is such a brilliant thing, is the chords in the guitar.
Second inversion chord?
I'm playing a D, B, and F sharp.
Yeah.
Now... if you ever wanted to know about how to make guitar harmonies, this song is a lesson in how to do so. Because one guy is going to play the B minor chord. Right? Now, a lot of guys think, harmony is the same thing, just up. Now, listen what happens if I play the same thing Mike plays, just up, you know, on that one, on the F sharp. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Sounds like a Casio keyboard.
Yeah, it sounds pretty bad because that we're doing parallel. What I'm doing is I'm taking Mike's part and just playing the same thing. What I have to do is I have to adjust for the scale. So I'm going to play the same chord he's playing but starting on the F sharp. So I'm going to go F sharp, D, B. So 1, 2, 3, 4. Nice. All right. Let's search. Now, I have a very difficult job of going back and forth between capo and non-capoed for this, but let's wish us luck. Mike is using a Telecaster, and I'm using a Line 6 Variax with a pod. There we go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Band Geek. I'm Richie Castellano. Philip Castellano on acoustic guitar and harmonica. Andy Ascalise on drums and vocals. Anne-Marie Castellano on bass guitar. Jarrett Pressman on vocals and cowbell.
I've gone home already.
He's from via Skype.
Via
Jarrett
Skype.
Pressman.
Yeah.
Brandy Metaxas, our camera woman. And our special guest, Mike DeCampo.
Yeah!
Get him down.
Thank you for inviting me.
See you next time.